Higher Human Performance, the podcast. This is episode 267. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Higher Human Performance, the podcast. And the title tells you everything you need to know. Brought to you by Bula Network, LLC. Bula Network is, well, my company, a boutique executive coaching and consulting firm. You can find the show notes and other information about what I do over at higherhumanperformance.com. We give episode numbers only because it makes it easier for you to go and find the show notes and the links. And if you like to read blog posts, you can do that too. Just go to higherhumanperformance.com, plug in the number 267 up in the top right-hand corner where it says search this website, and it will take you right there. Today's episode is entitled, We're Not Smart Enough About That Yet. I'll explain. Knowledge makes everything simpler. Now, that does not mean that it makes things easier. Well, it might make them easier, but it doesn't make them easy. But it does make things simpler. Some years ago, I'm visiting with a business owner. The topic? Finding other streams of revenue. That is a very popular topic in business. But this is more than a brainstorming session. It is strategic. And it is strategic based on the current revenue sources that they have going on. Well, a few ideas leap to my mind. And so without hesitation, I toss these things out there. It's kind of the beauty of these sessions, I think. And perhaps your organization could use some of this. There are a lot of organizations that don't have really comfortable brainstorming sessions, especially if the leader is in the room. Everybody's a little too timid. The beauty of these sessions that I was having, unfiltered. I mean, this is no time for bashful behavior. These are the times where uncorking can really pay off. Well, one particular idea sparks a response from the owner. And his answer forms the title for today's podcast. He says to me, we're not smart enough about that yet. Well, instantly, I'm impressed. I'm not impressed at the company's ignorance of this thing, but I'm impressed at his admission. I mean, true confessions, man. Difficult for a lot of entrepreneurs. And anybody who can be that candid during a session like this, well, they're probably my kind of people. And so I ask him, well, what do you mean? We just don't know enough about that technology right now to do it properly. But we're working on it, he said. And so he proceeds to tell me the investment that he's making in trying to get not only himself up to speed, but to get his people up to speed. And it was high technology. And the target learning was moving really fast. And so that was making it even, that was making the learning curve even steeper. But he talked about catching up. And I could tell that he was pretty committed to the effort. But the operative word, I said to him, the operative word seems to be yet. We're not smart enough about that yet. And he says, yeah, we're going to get there. We're just not ready to tackle it right now. But you've got some target in mind, or you wouldn't be making the investment to catch up. And sure enough, he knew some opportunities were tied to making sure that his team got up to speed and making sure that he himself could get up to speed on some technology that was, well, it was currently outside the scope of their base knowledge. They had some kind of a knowledge of it. It's not like they were starting from scratch, but they didn't know enough. They didn't have it down enough to really do anything meaningful with it. And so we talked about the capital and we talked about the time investment that they were making and that they were prepared to make. And we ironed out a timeline with some mile markers of some things that they could do to, you know, navigate this uncharted water that they were in. They were going to be poised to launch a test within less than 90 days. And a prototype product could be in beta testing within 6 months. And the opportunity was by all accounts, potentially game-changing and could potentially provide more revenue than all their other products combined. I mean, it was a really exciting adventure, and I could tell that most of the team, they were pretty thrilled with the prospect. Now, if we conclude that we're not smart enough about something, anything, if we're not smart enough about something yet, then it's time to get smart. You probably are too young to remember that TV show. It was pretty funny. Get smart. Well, it's time for us to do that. That needs to be kind of the battle cry, especially if we're trying to adapt and, well, and shouldn't we always be trying to adapt? Shouldn't we always be trying to innovate? Shouldn't we always be trying to be more creative, figure things out, be smarter? Sure. Time to get smart. It's always time to get smart. Can you ever just be smart enough? Well, you can be smart enough, but that doesn't mean that you're smart enough to stop getting smarter. How smart do you have to be to get started? There's the question. And I would suppose that that depends on the endeavor. And I think the challenge is twofold. A, knowing what you don't know. B, knowing what you know. And it's that second one. It's that second one that's way easier to quantify. Now, here's the problem. With it, with knowing what you know, can come an arrogance that can hamper progress and innovation. And if you hear some thundering in the back, it's because, well, there's thunder. Welcome to North Central Texas in a, just a crazy, this is just the most bizarre. As I hit the record button, it's May the 26th, Tuesday night, 2015, and we have had record-setting rainfall. Now, we need it. We've been in a drought for 3 or 4 years. We just don't need it all at once. So thunderstorms is just a nightly occurrence, so. And if you didn't hear it, well, then I should go take a mic outside and let you hear it. It's kind of cool, actually. But I digress. The challenge is twofold. Knowing what you don't know, knowing what you know. And my argument is that that second one, knowing what you know, it's a lot easier to quantify that. Well, for obvious reasons. The problem is, it breeds arrogance. Now, the other day, I was talking with somebody about the differences in small business people 30 years ago versus the ones today. And it was really a conversation about the difference in generations. I'm old enough to have a perspective, and my observations might not be empirically correct, but anecdotally, they are correct. 30 years or more ago, many small business owners I knew had a confidence that most people at the time saw it as necessary. The battle cry of the 70s was, you've got to believe in your idea. It's still the battle cry. It's a different battle cry today. It's just different. The problem that I quickly observed, when we talk about businesses failing and why businesses fail, and there's lots of reasons. I don't think it's one size fits all, but one reason that I saw in the early days of my career was this idea, knowing what you know and assuming that you know everything and assuming that you know enough. I would observe that business owners back in the day, they would fall in love with an idea. Usually it would be their own. And they wouldn't move off of it. They wouldn't move away from it. They wouldn't morph. They wouldn't adapt. They wouldn't pivot, as today's term is so in vogue. Stubbornness. And stubbornness was perceived as, well, a badge of honor, a good thing. The problem is stubbornness can also be a bad thing. Resilience, determination, tenacity, great traits. However, put them in a different context where a business or an organizational leader refuses to budge off of something that's not working. Yeah, you've got deadly potential. And more times than I can count, I have seen leaders who would just refuse to lose in spite of the fact that their organization was getting their brains beat out. Nope, we're going to keep pushing forward. That is the mark of a foolish, ignorant leader who refuses to acknowledge that what he or she doesn't know is hurting them. I mean, namely, what they don't know is they don't know that their idea or an idea or an execution or a strategy, call it whatever you will, namely, what they don't know is it's not working. It's not working, and it's time to do something different. But so many leaders, in my past experience, they couldn't let go of it. I'm finding today, particularly in younger people, they're able to let go of it much, much faster because, well, they want to get the results. Knowing what you know can sometimes deceive us into thinking that we know enough or that we know it all. Hey, this is why you see newcomers enter spaces and they disrupt an entire industry with new, bold ideas. Because they're not encumbered with past industry knowledge. As newcomers, they have an ability, they have a thirst to figure things out. They have a thirst to ask questions that other people might be, just too hard-headed to ask. And I think part of that comes in asking the biggest question that any of us can ask, why? Over 20 years ago, I entered a space that I had zero experience at and was leading a company. And as I was getting myself up to speed, and yeah, sure, widgets are widgets. However, you kind of need to know the widgets, and it does help to know the industry. Well, I knew a major part of one of the industries, but the other one I didn't have any experience at all, and I was just filled with questions. And as I would sit down with regional management and vice presidents and vendors and all kinds of people, I was peppering them with questions, asking questions, and the focal point of every question was why? Why this? Why that? Why does this work that way? Why is this priced that way? Why do you charge more for this than that? And on it went. And I could see people sometimes be frustrated with me asking questions that industry insiders just knew like the back of their hand. But it prompted some really interesting conversations. I mean, there were a lot of conversations where I would ask why, and nobody had an answer. Because if the decision got made as to why this is the way it's done, it had escaped these people if they had ever known it. I argue most of them probably never did know why, because nobody asked. Now, that's a benefit of a newcomer, and it gives you a huge, huge competitive edge to question things and to think through kind of a new, fresh perspective. And it is a major reason, in my opinion, why you do see so many industries and so many spaces suffering disruption. Why? Now, I think today's generation of leaders, younger leaders particularly, they also tend to be speed freaks, and I find that really appealing because I'm a speed freak. Today's entrepreneurs find out fast, and leaders too. They find out fast, and they find out if they're failing even faster. They morph, they adapt, they change. Like I said, the favorite word today is pivot. They abandon what isn't working in favor of something that will work better or something that might work better. My generation didn't tend to do that so much, but to be fair, it was a different time with a different time element. Was no internet in the 70s, no cell phones, no computers, much harder back in the old days to figure out if you had really given something a strong enough effort and if you'd given it enough of a chance to know if it would make it or not. So adapting, changing, morphing, it just took a lot longer back in the 70s than it does today, but everything took longer. My experience is one reason why I am so fond of the premise of the book, The Knowing-Doing Gap. I'll put a link in the show notes to this, by the way. HigherHumanPerformance.com. Go to episode 267. The Knowing-Doing Gap. It was written by yeah, some real brainiacs. And it's about knowing what you know and doing what you know. And it really is a simple but brilliant premise, I think. So many people are interested in expanding their knowledge, and that's a great thing, and it's primarily the subject of today's podcast. However, there are an incredible number of organizations, including leaders, they're not even doing what they already know to do. And these guys kind of put forth a premise. How about you just close that gap? How about you just do what you know to do? If you just did that, wouldn't you be way ahead of the game? And the answer, of course, is yeah. If you're not going to move forward, then any excuse will do. But don't let a lack of know-how spoil your hope of success. There are way too many resources readily available to help us prepare to take action. And just taking that first step might be all we need to make success a reality. Refusing to take that first step, though, is a surefire way to fail. So don't get hung up thinking that, well, I've got to have complete knowledge. I have got to have this business plan completely worked out from A to Z. I have got to have every I dotted, every T crossed, and we've got to know exactly where we're going and how we're going to get there. And if we don't yet know that, then before we begin, we must get all of that ironed out. Wrong. I love today's pace. I love the resources we have. Beats the snot out of bygone years, let me tell you. Because today, you just need to know enough to take the next step. The very next step. Figure that out. And then do it. And do it fast. And then figure out the next step. And the next step. And keep moving as fast as you can, making adjustments all along the way. Today, you don't need to know all the steps before taking your first one. I mean, so many people fail to start because they can't see all the details of the finish. Forget that. Head in that direction and start. Now, the old metaphor, which I believe is long dead or should be, was, you know, the journey of 1,000 steps begins with the first step. But you got to know, where is that 1,000th step going to put me? I've got to know the final destination. I've got to know it in great detail. That was the old metaphor. And it made sense to us, didn't it? I mean, it still kind of makes sense. The problem is it's completely fictitious. All you got to do is think about your career. Think about anything. Think about any endeavor in your company, in your organization. Think about your own career. Here's the problem with that whole journey of 1,000 steps. And we know where the first step is, and we know where step 1,000 is. And so now we try to connect the dots. The problem is that assumes a linearity that just doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in markets. It doesn't exist in organizations. It doesn't exist in careers. It doesn't exist in lives. Your life isn't linear. Your life has not been linear. Your life has experienced some ups and downs. I've been doing, for years and years, I've done quite a bit of reading and been very interested in the subject of mastery. And I'm working on a podcast. It's another podcast that I did over at Leaning Toward Wisdom, leaningtowardwisdom.com. The tagline is Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. And this topic of mastery is one that I'm kind of working on a podcast, on an episode for that podcast on mastery. And one of the intriguing things that I have found through the years about mastery is there's a steep curve, the steep learning curve, kind of like these technical guys that I mentioned, where, man, you're hoofing it. You are really in the grind, just trying to figure some things out and connect some dots. And then you begin to make some progress. And then you plateau. And you plateau. And the next bump up, it's not this hockey stick growth curve. It's a bump up and then another plateau and then a bump up and another plateau and a bump up and another plateau. And maybe then there's a setback and maybe a downturn even and a plateau and maybe even another downturn and a plateau. This is how life works. This is even how mastery works. Now, unless you are the odd duck, and I'd love to hear from you if you are. I like to hear from odd ducks. Most of us, that just isn't how our careers went. Now, we can make our resume look like that's how our career went, right? Everybody wants their CV to look that way. And some of you, maybe it did. Most of us, I would argue, things didn't always work out the way we planned. And quite often, some things worked out, and man, we didn't plan it at all. We didn't see it coming from a million miles away. True confession. Today, as I hit the record button, again, I said it was May the 26th, 2015. It's Tuesday night. Today, I am in the throes of an activity that a year and a half ago, it was not even on my radar. Wasn't even on my radar. I am doing a considerable amount of work with city government leaders. What? Yeah, you heard me. City government leader. So much, in fact, that I went and registered citygovernmentleadership.com. It's just a landing page. Go over there and see, check it out if you want. And if, hey, if you're a city leader, I'm interested. I couldn't have planned that. There's no way, no how. No way, no how did I set for some strategic plan and get this all worked out. An opportunity presented itself. I seized the opportunity. One thing led to another. I've done my own knowing doing gap assessment and work, and I've done a lot of study, and I've listened, and I've kept my ears open, and I've gathered feedback. And yeah, am I better at it now than I was a year and a half ago? Absolutely. And I plan on getting better yet still. Do I feel like I've reached mastery? No, but I'm on my way. I'm on my way. That's just a point that life's not linear. And the endeavors that we pursue, whether in business or whether in a space like city government, it's just not linear. It's not, we just don't often make it from point A to B in a straight line. Lots of detours along the way. Lots of little sidesteps along the way. So today, you don't need to know all the steps before taking your first step. And I think a lot of people fail to start, well, because they can't see all the details of the finish. Forget that. Head in the general direction that you want to go and be open to opportunities. The technology company, they didn't know where this newfound knowledge was going to take them. They had an idea of what they wanted to build based on that new knowledge. But they knew this. We got to get going. We got to get going. They needed to start learning, and they needed to start learning fast, and so they dove in. When boots hit the ground, the battle plan changes. Now, we don't want to put boots on the ground foolishly. But we don't want to assume that we know exactly what the boots are going to experience either. We can project what we think they're going to experience, and we make these contingency plans, but till they're on the ground, we really don't know. There's no way we can know until we're there. Enter something that leaders may not always consider: confidence. Organizations and people need confidence in order to win. Weekly, every single week, I encounter people who are depressed, losing morale, lamenting the future because they've got no confidence in the leadership of their organization, because their leadership is not displaying an ability to change. And in the face of challenges, people, they want to see a response. They want to see a response. People want to see the game plan adjusted. Now, I'm a hockey guy. In fact, right now, I've got the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the New York Rangers on the flat panel here inside the Yellow Studio. So we are in the latter part of the conference finals to see which two teams are going to play for the Stanley Cup. Now, some of these games are close. Now, some of them are blowouts, though. Last night, I'm watching Chicago. They gave up 3 goals in the first period to the Anaheim Ducks. 3. Now, I wasn't in that locker room between the first and the second period. There's 3 periods in hockey. So between the first and the second period, if you're Chicago, you are down by 3 goals. It's a huge, huge mountain to climb if you're behind by that. I can guarantee you that the coaching staff of that team, and that team, by the way, they have won the Stanley Cup twice in the last 5 years. That coaching staff and that team. I can guarantee you that that coaching staff was giving the team some hard instructions, firm instructions. They were correcting things. And you know what else I can bet you? Every player in that room was fully expecting it. Would have been disappointed if the coaches hadn't given them that. And Chicago ended up, by the way, driving that game into overtime after 3 periods. They lost in overtime, but still, it was a valiant comeback. So the adjustments worked. Now the players had to execute those adjustments. But now think about your organization and think about the things that may not be working. Think about the things that you may not know or that your organization may not know, and think about the toll that that takes on your team, on your people. Think about the confidence that is lost and continuing to be lost over time as you, if you're a leader, refuse to make adjustments. The point is, if those coaches hadn't made any changes, well, the players would have lost confidence in the coaches and in themselves because they knew they weren't playing well. What they needed from the coaches were answers to the question, why? Why aren't we playing well? Now, they, as professionals, they had some idea. This is what coaches do. Coaches aren't out there playing. Leaders aren't out there doing the work. They're observing. They're paying attention. They should be in positions to give the feedback necessary so that the players, the people, the teams can make the adjustments, can do what they need to do so they can win. We've all heard a coach after a loss. They'll stick a microphone in front of the losing coach, you know, at the press conference, and that coach, somebody will say, well, is there anything you can learn from this loss, coach? And invariably coaches, they'll say all the politically correct things. There's nothing to be learned from a loss. Well, that's a lie. Every good coach knows a loss teaches far more than a win because it teaches us what doesn't work. And that helps us figure out what does work. Now, in professional hockey, in the NHL, it is very common for a team to make it, they may make it deep into the playoffs 1 year or two before they finally figure out how to make it further or how to go all the way. And you'll very commonly in the offseason, you'll see a team that they advanced through the first round, maybe even through the second round, but then they got beat. And the next season, what you'll see, and this is very commonplace, you will see that team bring in veteran players. They'll go and acquire. They'll trade for. They'll get them in free agency. They will bring in some veteran players who've been there before. Because winning the Stanley Cup is a grind. And they'll work on team chemistry. And they'll put together the pieces that may have been missing in prior years. Because here's what they know. Here's what the GM of hockey teams that are competitive know. Teams have got to learn how to win. And guess what that takes? It takes some losing. But it takes a proper response to losing. It takes adjustments. It takes learning. Learning. Confidence comes from learning. And speed matters. And the faster you get going, the faster you get smart. And the faster you get smart, the faster you start winning. And the more you win, the more confidence you get. Some time ago, I'm talking with a young man about an endeavor, and he's wrestling with what to do. And I tell him, build it in your head first. you know, embrace this trait that we have as human beings to project into the future, to imagine, to see things as they might become. Create the future mentally. That's what I told him. Now, I wanted him to do that so that he could see the end before he began. But I urged him to realize that he was going to have to change once he got going. Just don't get locked into a certain path, because you don't know where this is going to head. You know where you want to take it. Aim for that. But just figure out your next step, I told him. Don't delay. Figure out your next step. Do what you know to do while you're learning what you don't know. And I think that's crucial. Do what you know to do while you're learning what you don't know. Stephen Pressfield, in his book, The War of Art, talks about the resistance. Don't let the resistance get in the way. I think it was Seth Godin in Lynchpin. He talked about the lizard brain. That is this thing that would destroy you. This thing that would have you second guess yourself. This thing that would cause you to flee instead of fight. So don't let the resistance get in the way. Fend off the challenges. Learn fast. Start faster. And then pick up your pace of your learning. And if there aren't any signs of success, then stop and rethink what you're doing. Don't stall. Don't stall. Don't procrastinate. Don't delay. Because if you realize that you're not smart enough to get started, then you need to get smart enough to just start. And the faster you get started, the faster you'll get up to that learning curve. And the faster you do that, the more confident you get. Oh, and by the way, you'll also speed up your wisdom. Not to mention the cumulative effect of getting in the habit of taking action. Be smart enough. Get smart enough. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm glad that you came along. I'm glad you clicked play. I'd love it if you would subscribe to the podcast. I'd love you even more if you'd leave me a review over at iTunes. Don't know how to do that? Just go to the website, higherhumanperformance.com. Up in the top, subscribe to podcast. Just click on that. It'll show you how to do it. It'll also show you how to subscribe to the podcast if you care to. Again, it's brought to you by Bula Network, LLC. Bula Network is my company, a boutique executive coaching and consulting firm. All kinds of ways that you can check out who and what I am and what we do. Increasingly, it's a lot of leadership and executive coaching stuff. And I love it. I love it. Like I said, I'm in a space that I didn't see it. I didn't plan on it. So you got to be smart enough about that too. You got to be smart enough to recognize some opportunities and to go with the flow and seize the day. If there's anything that I can do to be of service other than the free podcast, and if that's as good as it gets, then hey, that's great. It's terrific. Keep clicking play. Got a lot of episodes. I mean, we're up to episode 267. So there's a lot of them out there. May not all apply to you, and I get that, because we kind of cover the gambit here. Everything from leadership to entrepreneurship to sales and marketing. And, for the businesses, it really is about the trifecta of business building. It's about getting new customers, serving existing customers better, and not going crazy in the process. For others, for leaders, it can be much more soft skills, people stuff, you know. Subscribe to the podcast. You can plug in your email address and subscribe and get free updates, bonuses. I got videos that I'd love to send you too. Got a lot of stuff that I send to, especially new subscribers. If you care to do that, terrific. I'd love to have you. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, where we have big thunderstorms blowing up as I've hit the record button. So the rumbling that you may have heard, that's that. Hopeful that we don't blow away. Floods are just rampant all throughout Texas right now. The ground is parched. Well, it has been. Not so much now. We're going to have to inflate the rafts if this keeps up. I'm glad that you came. I'm coming to you from a place that, well, the walls are painted yellow, so I call it the Yellow Studio.